Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because we are a people you have called unto yourself. You have shown us the way that you are God. And the best that can happen to our lives is when we remain as instrument of righteousness in your hands. Lord, as many as are in the house this morning, I pray that indeed you will use them mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, they will become instruments in your hands to reach unto the nations, and indeed they will be a blessing to the world around them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Because we see you in our situations and we see you in our circumstances. My Lord and my God, when we look around today and we see you with us, everything else will pale into insignificance in Jesus' name. Restore our joy and restore our hopes in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that song. I actually saw it yesterday. I heard it. And I took a look at the lyrics. You know, it's a very, very powerful song. If you listen to the first stanza there, he said, I would not care what people may say. He said, some people say they will not serve God because others may use them to get gains. And I said, that's a major thing in Christendom today. That because we don't know who to trust. Or rather, we try to trust men rather than trusting God. What came to my mind immediately was is the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower? You remember the rich man that was going on a journey and gave his servants talents. Somebody got five, some three, somebody got three, one got one. He went on his journey, he came back. The person who got five had traded with his own, had ten. The person who got three traded with his own, got three additional ones, had six. The person who got one, what did he do? He went and buried it. So when the master came, what did he say? He said, for I know you are an austere man who like to reap where you have not sown. Therefore, I went and hid it. And the man said, you wicked servant. Because you know who I am. You could have put the money in the bank and made some interest for me. Instead, you kept the money. And what he had was taken and given to the one who had 10 already. The one who got one is a people's person. He said, because I know you want to, you know, there are people's person. He said, and that someone may try to use them to prosper their own way. So because of people, they will not even sow at all. They are afraid to even venture out and sow to the things of God. It's a very, very individual thing. For whatever a man soweth, so shall he reap. If somebody wants to take advantage of you, what they sow, they are going to reap. if because of them you refuse to sow, what you sow, you are going to reap. Praise the Lord. I want us to open our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2. When we come to serve the Lord, one thing should be paramount in our mind. And that's the most important thing. It should be paramount in our mind. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Can we have it projected? Don't read your Bible. We are going to read the one here. Otherwise, we are going to be speaking gibberish. Because somebody will be reading NIV. Somebody will be reading New Living Translation, NLT. Somebody King James. Somebody New King James. Somebody the Message. You know? But I want all of us to read here. I want us to take notes, in particular of the B part of it, as we read. After three, we are going to read. One, two, three. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Let's start afresh that particular one. I want you to take a very deep breath when you start for them. Because take a deep breath. We are going to read it very well and read it loudly. Go. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you remember this passage very well. This was God speaking to Eli. The B part of it is what I want us to take note. God said to Eli, he said, for those who honor me, I will honor. God did not say, for those who men honor, I'm going to honor. No. You may receive honor from the whole wide world. If you have not honored God, God will not honor you. It's the law of reciprocity. If you have not honored God, God will not honor you. How do you honor God? You honor God by doing what He says. He said, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. When we serve God, we must do it because we honor God. That should be the motivation. I tell people, if you serve God, even as small as this church is, if you serve God because of man, I mean, if you come to do things because of man, you have no reward. Because you are not honoring God, and God will not honor you. But if you come with the mind to serve God, to honor God, even if man will not acknowledge you, God will what? Will honor you. And my prayer for you this morning is that God will honor you as you serve Him diligently in the mighty name of Jesus. So it does not matter what people say. It does not matter whether people approve or disapprove. The question you have to answer in your mind is, am I honoring God? Once you are honoring God, sincerely, you are honoring God, God will honor you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9. The book of Luke, chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 10 to 17. It's a very familiar story that we all know. And then, by the grace of God, I believe God wants to teach us a few things. You know, I like giving titles to messages. In a way, it helps us to get our bearing right. And so the message is titled, The Much in Little. The Much in Little. The Much in Little. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. The Bible says, And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. This year, your barn will be full to the overflowing in Jesus' name. Jesus asked his disciples, after they had taken the people, we are not too far from town. We are within the town here. He took them to the wilderness, to the desert place, and preached to them. When it was time to feed them physically, there was really nothing around to feed them except the little that there was, that was left. The first thing that comes to my mind is this. I can imagine a pastor taking people to the wilderness, and when it is time to have lunch, to have dinner, he had not made provisions to ensure that people were going to eat. So they had no plan to feed the people. And it was at that point that he was asking, what do you have for these people to eat? When the disciples came and said, let's send them back to town so they can find something to buy and eat. It was at that point that Jesus was asking, what do you have? God help that pastor. Jesus asked them, and they told him what they've got. The Bible said he took it. He thanked God. He didn't panic. He didn't start to run around the place. All he did was thank God. It was a position of lack and inadequacy. But Jesus did what? He thanked God. And God responded. God responds in situations where he is being glorified. God does not respond in situations where you think you are going to lose face. If on our own, our fear is that we might lose face, what about my pride? How will people look at me? God does not respond to such things. He responds when he is being glorified. Jesus took the bread. He broke it, thanking God. And supernaturally, the people were fed. I want to let us know this morning that what makes the difference in our lives is how much of God is in our situation. How much of God is in our situation. I've shared this with us before. So everything you have to do or you want to do, make sure you attach it to God genuinely. What do I mean? You are looking for that job. Tell God, God, if you give me that job, I'm going to evangelize to the people that are going to share my office with me. When you take me to that place, Lord, I'm going to glorify you. It's not just the way I live. I'm going to talk to you, to people about who you are. I'm going to bring your glory to bear everywhere I go. And I'm telling you, doors will be open to you. Attach where you want. Attach God to your situation. And he will come down. He is the one that changes a state of lack to a state of surplus. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. 5,000 fed. 5,000 men fed. 12 baskets of remnants. One day somebody asked a question. I don't know if I've asked you before. Somebody asked a question. He said the 12 baskets that Jesus asked the disciples to gather, where did they go? Because if you read this story in another place, there was actually a boy who had, you know, who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Somebody asked, he said, where did they take the 12 basket to after everybody had been fed? Okay, I will leave you to ponder over it. Praise the Lord. But what the Bible says is this. He said, where a river flows from, there shall it return. Did somebody hear that? Where a river flows from, there shall it return. In other words, when you are a source of blessing, what happened? Blessing will return to you. You think you have lost it? You haven't lost it. Because the Bible actually says, it said, so much water enters into the sea, yet it is not filled. It said, where a river flows from, there shall it return. When you are a source of blessing, blessings will follow you. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Remember, the title of the message is The Much in Little. I want to teach us some principles that will bring out much in our little situations. Genesis chapter 13, verse 5 to 7. And then I will read 10 and 11. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. Verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. I said the degree of your success depends on how much of God there is in your situation. When Lot and Abraham dwelt together, the Bible said both of them were blessed. Both of them were blessed. There was so much cattle, servants, and everything that they needed. You know what happened? A time came that there was striving. Abraham went to Lot and said, Lot, because of constant fighting, can you just find your way, please? Find my way. He said, yes, find your way. He said, look, enough is enough. Look at the land. Take your own portion. Whatever is left, I will take the remnants. The first thing that comes to my mind is this, and I will share with you. Do you know that sometimes God ties your destiny to someone else's destiny for your blessings? If I were Lot, if Abraham asked me to go, I wouldn't have gone. If I was Lot, if Abraham asked me to separate myself from him, what did I say? I wouldn't have gone. Because after Lot separated himself from Abraham, how much did you know of Lot? He went from trouble to trouble. The other thing that I want us to take notice is this. When Abraham asked him to choose, he looked at the land. The Bible said a portion of the land was well watered, lush. It was like the Lord's garden. And as soon as Lot saw it, of course, what do you need to feed your animals? You need green grass. You need the well-watered areas. I mean, those of us from Africa, you know, the herdsmen, they move from place to place, searching for places that have water. Lush, green. As soon as Lot saw it, he said, look, this is my portion. And Abraham said, okay, you take it. Even though it looked green, because God was not in it, what did Lot choose? Lot chose, because he chose covetously, he chose iniquity, he chose destruction. Because the place where Lot chose was where? You remember the towns there? Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the place. And in the process, he lost his wife. And we know what happened. Even after he lost his wife, what happened? We know what his daughters did. And you know all the rest that happened to him. The much in little. Where your greatness lies is where the counsel of God is for your life. If we have not chosen according to the counsel of God, we have not chosen properly. If we have not taken decision according to the counsel of God, we have not taken a good decision. Because the extent of your success depends on the presence of God with you. God will only go with you when you are living in obedience to Him. We read this morning in 1 chapter 2, verse 30. He said, "For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem." Everyone who will honor God, God will go with them. Because what makes what you have in your hand to become plenty, what makes what you have to become prosperous, is the presence of God in your life. That was how Lot chose, and chose his lot. Let's look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 21 to 24. You will see the heart of Abraham, the kind of heart that Abraham has got. You could see why God will prosper that man. 21 to 24. He said, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe lesset, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." Praise the Lord. When Lot went to Sodom, he ran into trouble. Some people came and invaded Sodom, took their goods. Abraham, the uncle, became aware. He went and waged war and conquered them. He came back. The king of Sodom said, "Look, our people that you have brought back, just give them to me. Take all our goods that you have recovered." And Abraham said, "No, I'm not going to take that which is yours and add to mine. So that you are not going to say that I've prospered him. What I gave to him is what has made him who he is. Let it not be that you are looking unto man to honor you." Jesus said, he said, "You look for men to honor you." He said, "I have honor with my Father. Everyone who will diligently serve the Lord will have honor with the Father, because they honor God." Abraham said something that is very revealing there. He said, "I have lifted up my hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." The Bible says, "For the cattle upon a thousand hills belongs to the Lord." He is the possessor of the heaven and earth. If we know who we serve, He is the one that can turn the little in our hand into much. Many people are waiting until they get one revelational knowledge that is going to transform their lives. They forget that out of what God is doing in their lives, their miracle is there. What God is already doing in your life right now, your miracle is in it. until we learn to trust him, seek his face, you will find out that the little in your hand is the precursor to the abundance to come. And I've shown us in the Bible before, many, many people that God has used mightily, out of the little that they are doing, out of the little that they have in their hands. Look at the widow of Zarephath. Look at Jesus, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Many, many people, Moses had only the rod in his hand. What you have in your hand, if you will honor God, God is able to make something abundant to come out of it. Irrespective of how intelligent you are, irrespective of how crafty you may be, when you plan and you don't hinge it on God, that plan is subject to failure. You will not fail in Jesus' name. Abraham chose to forbear. Abraham made a choice in faith and in trust. He made a choice in the will of God and in peace, in covenant, and according to the promise of God for his life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. We cannot take faith out of Christianity. The moment we start to take faith out of Christianity, it is no longer Christianity. The moment we start to take faith out of Christianity, then it is no longer Christianity. It's some other religion. Irrespective of how good the word I preach to you is, it will just be words of encouragement. Once you take faith out of Christianity, once you take trusting God out of Christianity, it's no longer Christianity. Because the Bible says, it says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For God to have a hand in your affairs, we must be people who go back to trust God. You see, when you trust God, and when you are looking unto God to do something in your life, you find out that that's not the time you want to, you know, that's not the time you want to be found in ungodliness, because you are looking unto the Lord. You don't want him to come and meet you in a place where you are not in right standing. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. Praise the Lord. There is he that scattereth, there is he that choose little. There is he that choose not to have as abundantly as they can have because they honor God. And I'm telling you, some of you, the time you come to spend to prepare to serve God, those times you can be doing shifts that will bring you 4 times the money. But in the little you get, God will choose to do you favor. I told you when I bought my house, the woman came to us after she asked me to pay. I was a registrar. I didn't even have that money. I said, this is all I could, you know when a man has no money, he will have what is called agidi, anger. Particularly, you know, if I have plenty of money, if my wife asks for, he said, bring this, You know, this is unlimited. All these people who are rich, unlimited this thing, what do? They just give their wives, girlfriend, credit card. You just go and uncensored, you go and spend it. But when a man's money is limited and the wife comes, say, bring money, you get angry if she has for too much. Praise the Lord. I'm like that too. Praise God. But when it's unlimited, you won't, you just give, you know, you just give your card. You say, go. You don't check. So that day, that woman said, this is how much I want to send it. And I want to tell you, the difference between me and that woman was $5,000. But because my head has calculated how I was going to pay back that money, I just told her, I said, no, I don't have money. I walked out of that place. And the vendor came to me and said, the woman said she could not sleep overnight, that God said she should sell the house to me. That's the house I live in up to now. Out of the little you have, God will turn your situation around in Jesus' name. David was the youngest of his siblings. As far as his father was concerned, he did not deserve to be mentioned because he was on the farm. He was little, he was forgotten. His companion were the animals. In fact, anytime lions, bears could just tear him apart. And where he was, the favor of God located him because God knew his heart. The favor of God will locate you in Jesus' name. You see, daily we are faced with decision making. What is it that determines your choices? Do circumstances determine who you are? For example, what do I mean? Do you have like 20 personalities such that it depends on what the situation is, what you do, who you are, depends on where you are, who you are with? I've seen people from Africa who said they were ministers back home, pastors, and so on. When they get to a place like this, they become confused. They don't even know who they are. They take the advice of people who are not even born again, when they should be leading the way. Who are you in Jesus Christ? Who speaks into your life? Whose advice do you follow? You may not yet have everything that you want, but you can have your integrity as a child of God. What is integrity? Integrity is the fact that you know that this person remains the same, you know, irrespective of that circumstance. You can have your integrity. Even though there may be, it may look like there's lack right now, don't let circumstances dictate who you are. Let your faith count for something in your life. As we close, I want to share something with you. Open to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17. Verses 7 and 8. He says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want you to take note of the last part. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What God is saying is this. He said, blessed is the man that put his trust in the Lord. He said, in the day of changes in circumstances, when things are topsy-turvy, the whole place is in turmoil, he said, that one would not cease from yielding fruit. What does that mean? You will not cease from being a Christian. You will have your peace. You will have your joy. You will have your breakthrough. You will have your prosperity. You will have your gentleness. You will still have your love. In other words, it is not circumstances that will dictate how you are going to react or who you are. You are already who you are in Jesus Christ. Not because you want something or you want it so badly. You do what it takes. Because he said, for the carnal mind, it's not subject to the law of the Lord. In other words, if you have ever read it properly, he said, for the carnal mind is not subject to the law of the Lord. What that means is this. The carnal mind is not obedient to the law of the Lord. Look at the other side of it. The carnal mind, because it's not subject to the law of the Lord, is also not going to be a partaker of the blessings of the Lord. You'll be a partaker of the blessings of the Lord in Jesus' name. You know the carnal mind? Carnal minds manipulate. Is the carnal mind that play one against the other? Is the carnal mind that has coffers? Is the carnal mind that cannot be committed, but they know how to create confusion? Is the carnal mind that will never see anything good in what is happening? They see many problems, they never see solutions. He said, for the carnal mind. For the carnal mind. But the man after God, that trusts in God, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let me give you an example of what it means not to cease from yielding fruit. We are closing. I'm telling you, I'm not the only pastor who says we are closing many times. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, as I close with you. Philippians 4, 4. What does it, can we read it together? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4 says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can we take that again? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what that means? The Bible is saying, it says, rejoice in the Lord all the time. All the time. Okay? Then beyond that, what the Bible is telling you is this. It says, rejoice in the Lord, not in your properties, not in your intellect, not in your connection, not in your planning, not because things are tough. He said, rejoice always, and again, rejoice. Irrespective of what is going on, he said, rejoice in the Lord, because the Lord cannot die. He cannot cease to be on his throne. Your circumstance can change, but the Lord will never cease to be on his throne. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord always, because the Lord is constant. Therefore, your joy will be constant, irrespective of what is going on around you. Remember, only those who trust in the Lord will not cease from yielding fruit. We will not be able to rejoice always until we trust in him. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord. Not in your connection. Not in how many people are supporting you. Not in how many people you know. Not in your wisdom. Not in your in the intricacies of what you do. Not even in your profession. Rejoice always in the Lord. Always. And again, I say, rejoice. 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 Don't let your circumstance dictate the amount of joy you've got. Because in the little that is in your hands, your miracle is there. Rejoice always. If you don't learn to rejoice in the Lord, you will not even see it. You will not see your miracle. Your heart will be so troubled that you will not. How many of us have been in a situation whereby we are so consumed by what is going on that we can't even see simple things, and it takes someone else to tell us? You know, it's happened to me before that things have been happening and I'm just so, you know, and somebody will just say, oh no, did you think of this? Oh, thank you. But if you take time to rejoice in the Lord always, there will be much in the little that you have. There will be much in the little that is in your life. Can we just rise? Can we just thank God for his word tonight? I mean, this afternoon. Just thank God for the word you have heard. God has set out to bless somebody. That is why this word has come. He set out to take you to a higher ground. That is why you've heard the word today. Just thank the Lord and say, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the word that you have spoken to me. Thank you because you have sent your word. You have healed me. You have delivered me from my destruction. Thank you because you have set me on a course for greatness. There is no turning back. There is no changing it. I will not miss my destiny. Ah, Lord, I will rejoice from today. I will rejoice in you. Therefore, you will open my eyes to my miracle. I will rejoice in you. You will open my eyes to my abundance. I will rejoice because I put my trust in you. I will continue to yield my fruit in season, out of season. My trust is not in man, but in you. Therefore, I am blessed. Therefore, I am favored. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You may be in the house this afternoon. I don't know what your circumstance is right now. It looks like you've been beaten, browbeaten. You are even confused. God is telling you that there is much in the little that seem to be your lot at this point. So I want you to just say to the Lord and say, Father, as I rejoice in you, open my eyes to see my miracle. Just open my eyes to see my miracle. Open my eyes to see my favor. Open my eyes to see my breakthrough. Even in this particular circumstance, open my eyes. Open my eyes, O Lord. Open my eyes. Because without faith, it's impossible to please you. I trust you, Lord. I want to yield my fruit, even at this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has come forth today. I know out of this word, some people are going to prosper. Out of this word, some people's life will be changed for good forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name, we are prayed. Amen. Can we share?